Let's go. I'm cracking my knuckles. I'm ready to go.
All right. We're coming in hot.
Yeah.
All right.
I told you I came in hot with the energy with a dent in my car. So we're ready to go.
On that note. I am Doug Friedman.
I am Kenzie Genest.
And this is Your Mental Breakdown,
the podcast,
where we are therapists, but we're not going to sound like them for a few minutes.
For the next 10 minutes or so.
All right. I mean, you literally were like, hit record.
Yeah. Because I want to know if you were going to get color on your nails. So Doug just got a manicure.
Like, no. Cute. No, I did not.
What do you mean? What are you trying to protect right now?
Nothing.
What are you insecure about?
The truth.
The truth is?
I got a mani-pedi.
Oh, my bad. He got a mani-pedi. So my question is, I mean, let's be real. You got clear nail polish. Actually, none, right?
Correct.
You got zero nail polish.
Right.
So if you were to get nail polish, what color would you get?
Wow.
Feet and hands.
That's like saying, if you were a baseball player, what position would you play?
Why? Why are we equating? Oh, I see what we're doing. So we're equating getting our nails done to womanhood and baseball to manhood.
Wow.
You did that.
No, I was saying you're giving a hypothetical that's totally hypothetical.
Why is it hypothetical? You would absolutely never put colors on your nail?
No, I would not.
Huh. I mean, okay, that's a preference.
Yeah.
My mom doesn't either.
No.
Actually, she does on her toes.
I've never gotten jails.
Jails?
I used to think they were called jails, and I didn't know why they were jails.
Why?
Because every person that I talked to about getting my nails done, because I have gotten my nails done in the past. See?
Like nails, but like with a J or a G.
Yeah.
Jails.
It's gels.
That's kind of fun.
Right? But yes. I didn't know what that meant. So one of my buddies, I think in our 20s, used to get acrylics on his right hand because he did a lot of finger picking and he would play guitar that way.
Yeah, cool.
And I got my nails done a couple times, once with a friend of mine where it was, and this is probably why I used the baseball reference. She said, okay, you pick something for us to do that you want and I'll pick something that I want.
Okay.
Like, okay, cool. And we were in the Valley at the time in LA.
Uh-huh.
Like, great, we're going to go to the batting cages and hit balls. I think we did softball, not baseball, because it would be easier for her. I wasn't going to like make her hit. Because
she was a woman.
But she was an athlete when we were in junior high school together. So, you know, she's coordinated.
Softball is a sport.
Yeah. Absolutely is a sport. Mm-hmm. And she chose mani-pedi. So we went and got our nails done and they put some kind of some kind of clear polish on my toes.
Like a base coat or a top coat.
Some
or like a strengthener, maybe.
Sure. Whatever it was, it lasted months.
What?
Like months.
Oh,
like
no.
It would not come off.
That was gel. Probably.
Oh, that was gel.
Probably. Wow. I mean, I've never seen a nail polish the last months.
Oh, it was insane. I could not get it off. And anytime I was like putting on my cleats for something and like socks and bare feet, like I was getting pointed out like,
reminded.
Wow, your nails are so shiny. Like,
hey, what if you were just so healthy that your nails were so shiny? Like all those fruits and vegetables and nutrients just going straight to your toenails.
That was in my 20s. It wasn't all fruits and vegetables.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, you've changed.
Oh, yeah.
You're a changed man. Okay.
Yeah.
This is why I want to ask you so many questions, Doug. Someday, hey, everyone, we need to convince Doug to let me do a Q&A with our host so that we can get to know him a little bit better.
We've done a Q&A before.
Oh, you have?
Well, me and Meredith did a long time ago.
Well,
but you can ask me anything. I just don't know that it'll be that compelling for everybody.
We'll do an AMA.
An AMA?
Doug Friedman. AMA. Ask me anything.
Oh.
Come on
I was thinking
now.
American Music Awards.
Come on now. No.
Okay.
Okay, but you have to answer the question before we stop.
Yes. What was the question?
It's a hypothetical, but hypotheticals are fun.
Oh.
What color would you get?
And we're talking me now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I just want to picture it.
Hmm.
Let me have this, Doug.
Okay. So I'll answer you a little more in depth than you'd want. When I was young, like a teenager and just learning how to play guitar, one of my first guitars was a hot pink electric guitar because I loved
I
like,
knew
hot
that
pink.
You were going to do this.
Right.
I knew you were going to go extreme on me.
Right. So if I were to get my nails done, I could see myself choosing hot pink or like a lime green or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. I don't think I'd want black because that's not my vibe.
Mm.
And that seems, wait, what was that face?
Mm. Like emo? Like goth?
Right. That's not my vibe.
Okay.
So I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
In the past, I might have.
Yeah, so I was going to say, that's a musician thing for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Rock star.
That's not me. I'm not a rock star.
Anymore.
No, I never was. I was a stone star. I was a pebble star.
Oh, I see. I thought, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No.
Thought you were calling yourself a stoner. Okay, I get it.
Stoner?
Like I was you a said stone star. Star. Not,
oh, stoner. Stone star.
Like
no.
I thought, okay.
No.
So,
no,
but you weren't a full-on rock. You were a pebble is what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah,
I get you.
Pebble.
I get
little
you.
A little grain of sand.
Okay, so Doug would do hot pink, just so everyone knows. Take notes. I will get you to do your nails hot pink someday.
Or lime green. I think lime green.
Or like could be cool. Every other.
I mean, wait. Could be fun. Does it have to be a solid color or can I do no. like a design or like
you
some
can do,
like.
This
can
is
I
a hypothetical
dog.
You can get literally anything you want.
Literally.
I sounded like the guy from Parks and Rec.
You can get literally.
Rob Lowe.
Who I think has a podcast called Literally.
Oh my God. Of course he does. Because yeah. Everyone has a podcast.
Don't they?
Yeah. Speaking of.
Yes.
Follow us.
Oh.
This podcast.
Wow. Look at you.
I'm segueing now. I'm a big girl.
I like that.
Thank
I like
you.
That. Follow us where and how.
Right. Okay. So. We've got Instagram.
Correct.
We've got, what are the other social medias?
Oh, TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah.
And that's your.mental.breakdown?
Most likely, without the question mark
is
at
it?
The end.
Okay, no question mark. Hold the question mark. Your.mental.breakdown.
Or just search your mental breakdown. We'll be there somewhere.
You'll find it.
Yeah.
You'll see Doug's face everywhere. Oh, it's like purple and pink. Your face is on there.
Is it really?
On your Instagram?
Oh.
Isn't that the point of Instagram?
I guess
so. And TikTok.
That's why.
Just look for Doug.
That's why we're going to like video us, do this via Zoom, not just live, so people can like enjoy us in person.
Uh-huh. Can you see my face? Uh-huh. Yeah. People want to see my adult acne. Let's go.
What? It's just because you're PMSing.
It's fun. I am. Thanks, Doug. He sees me. Okay. Stay tuned for more of this.
Right?
No. Let's get into the session, actually.
Shall we?
Like the real stuff.
The real stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So forget these.
Forget everything you know.
Forget everything you know about the hosts and let's get into the clients.
Yes.
And we will be back shortly.
Momentarily.
Sure.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. What's going on, my man?
Went to the doctor last week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the first thing I want to talk to you about because it's the first thing on my head.
Sure.
So I think I feel this way every time I go see a doctor, especially a new one. It felt like he just kind of ran down the list of random questions that they ask everybody. And then he was basically like, oh, well, you need this. And so he prescribed me Zoloft. And he was like, you need to take this immediately. You need to get on it like right now. Boom, boom, boom. Wrote me like the prescription for it. He's like, go pick this up. You'll feel much better in 2 weeks. And we probably won't even see each other again. And I was like, okay. But right. It was weird that he just kind of like gave me the generic version of help.
And he is just a regular doctor, not a psychiatrist, a regular doctor, right?
Yeah, I really didn't like how he just kind of gave me something and was like, yeah, she'll monitor you.
Right.
And you guys just need to check in every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that either. So being a little hesitant, it's fine. What was your purpose for seeing the doctor?
This is my insurance finally kicking in. And so I have another appointment on Monday to go see a cardiologist and kind of go through everything and just double check all my stuff.
Yeah.
The best news that came out of all of it, though, side tangent, I'm 5'10" now. So
so you grew.
It's a pretty big deal. You know.
Nice. Nice. So was this doctor just seeing this doctor in order to see the cardiologist, like you needed a referral to the specialist, or were you seeing him again, like a annual checkup? It's been a while, or specifically, I want this. Like, why did you walk in that door?
So both specifically was to see the next step of what I do. But I also was like, I haven't had a checkup in like 10 years. So I might as well do both while I'm here. I can try a new doctor. I worry about having to go through a new doctor, a new doctor, a new doctor, a new doctor until I find the right one. And maybe that's me. Maybe I'm just too hopeful on finding the right doctor the first time.
What does the right doctor mean to you?
I had like a little UW medicine clinic that I used to go to, and there was like 3 people that worked there, and my family knew them and they knew my family, and it was all kind of, I felt like they actually knew me. And they could actually assist in what I was doing because of that. Where this one, I just felt like I was a kid on a piece of paper and he just looked at the paper and
Yeah.
Went off of that.
And if what you needed was just make sure I'm okay and nothing's wrong and give me a referral to the specialist so I can see the cardiologist, check, check, done. I think that idea of like, I don't want to go looking for a new doctor, looking for a new doctor, looking for a new doctor, but finding one that you're comfortable with that you can call and just ask a general question. Great. That's a relationship that you need to start with somebody. And this is your first time right. as an adult doing that on your own. So
yeah.
think of it like, you know, when you found me, I wasn't your first therapist, right?
Right.
Your first therapist, not the right fit. We'll skip the part that it was also your mom's therapist. Skip that part, right? I mean, but right. for example, for a doctor, you're not going to go see your mom's gynecologist. You know,
because, yeah, right.
right. So it's right. coming up with what you're comfortable with. And I think your instinct was, wait, what? What? You're telling me to take Zoloft right now? Like immediately, as soon as I walk out of this door? Did the doctor explain to you why he was prescribing that and kind of what that meant, what his thinking was? Or was he just pretty direct, like, here's the issue, here's the solution, have a nice day?
Yeah, he was, we were going down the list of, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have that? And one was anxiety, and then the next one was depression. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I talked about a little, like a very minute piece of the PTSD as well. And then he's like, oh yeah, just take this.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of that. I mean, look, it might be something that does help out, but mm-hmm. you not understanding and you not feeling comfortable, that's not how to walk out of a prescribing doctor's office. You want to walk out of a prescribing doctor's office empowered, like, oh, here's a medication I can take and it'll help with X, Y, or Z. And I could do that. And I understand why. And I understand where they're coming from. And okay, maybe I will, maybe I won't, but it's up to me. This doesn't sound like it gave you any empowerment and it raised more questions than it gave you answers for.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and like in all too, I think I am hesitant about taking something to assist with my day-to-day life. And I think, I mean, very straight up, I think it's because of how I watched my mom and my upbringing and what happened with that. Whether I understood what was going on or not, it was my experience in the situation. And that's why I've been so hesitant about going back to something. And I've tried it. I told you that when I was like 16, I tried something. I couldn't tell you what it was, but I just felt like a zombie. I think where I'm at now is like, I'm not against taking a antidepressant or something that will assist in my day-to-day life if that helps me. But I also don't want to just take something because somebody somewhere says it's going to help me.
Yeah, and a lot of these medications are not one size fits all. Every body, and I mean your body, not just, you know, everybody. I mean, your body is different. I mean, look, you pick up this bottle and you have a question about it, or you take it for a couple of days and you're feeling something, how quickly are you going to get to the doctor that prescribed it? And how comfortable are you going to be that the doctor understands you and your body and what you're feeling? I'm saying right now, don't pick up that prescription. And rarely will I say, no, don't do it. But you're already kind of leaning towards, what? I think seeing a psychiatrist and kind of going, look, I go to therapy regularly. I'm working on stuff. I have a history of this and this, and this is what happens to me. I don't want to take Ativan. I don't want to take anything that could be addictive. If you say like, oh, I have trouble sleeping and I get anxious, they're going to go, here, take this. That's not what you want. So seeing a psychiatrist and explaining to him or her, here's who I am. Here's what I'm doing. You know, here's where I come from. And if my life can be better day to day with some medication, I'm willing to try that. And they'll work with you. To me, the mark of a good psychiatrist, if you're going in there cold and you say, yeah, I work with the therapist regularly, they'd say, oh, great. Let me have you sign this release so I can talk to your therapist. Mm-hmm. And that's to get to know you better, to get to understand your body and how it works and your mind and your emotions.
I think that's exactly what I'm looking for. And I think that's the path I'm trying to go down. And then kind of throwing this in the mix as well. kind of a side tangent, but in the mix of it all, my homie, shout out to him. This is a two-part thing. First is just a shout out to him because he's been really supportive of this whole thing in the process of going to see a doctor and talking to me about it and going through the process, because he was on Xanax for the longest time and had the shittiest time with it and been through doctors and all this and that, right? And so he's seen a naturopath, a holistic nutritionist. Right. And he just feels way better and night and day. And it's very diet based, which I get, but I'm going to go see her. And I've been to something similar to that when I was a kid, and they put me on like a grass diet, basically. And I felt just 10 times better every day. I had a lot of energy. I could think straight and everything felt better without having to go down the route of being on an antidepressant or anything of that sort. And so that's my other kind of route in all of this, is trying to go more in the holistic approach to it, which I think I'm more for than anything. But that's my next step as far as this whole seeing a doctor thing, minus the cardiology and the specialist of what I'm doing next week.
Right. Good. I'm glad to hear you say that, because there are some things that are just mechanical, like my heart. How is it pumping? Yeah. How is it working? You know, you're not going to fix that by eating broccoli. And I think for a lot of other things, like what you have called episodes, right? We can call it depression, but I don't know that it's classically depression the way a psychiatrist would diagnose it. And anxiety, sure, okay. You're working with a therapist, okay. It still will hit sometimes. When you were feeling something in your chest and thought it was an anxiety attack or panic, that's different. I mean, that was something mechanical and it was the anxiety, okay? And it spiked pretty high. So taking the Ativan, lorazepam, same thing, in the hospital, in the ER, made sense. We'll get to the part where you didn't like that it felt great and I could take this pill and feel great. That idea that I want to see what I can control. Mm-hmm. I want to see if diet, exercise, you know, shifting some things around, if that will have an effect. And look, there are studies out there that link depression to your gut health. Food mm-hmm. has an effect on us. It's what we put into our bodies. Not to mention, you put cigarettes and weed into your body too.
Right.
That has an effect. It could be that you see somebody and they say, okay, well, let's look at some of your habits. You can choose how you go about your own physical health.
Yeah. I think my personal beliefs on all of it are aligned with the gut and brain being very coinciding. I only know the feeling of my own body. I don't know factual statistics of anything. So I think it's hard for me to speak on it. But for me, I kind of take the approach of, well, 100 years ago, people would eat like one meal a day, one meal every 3 days, and they were completely okay. So why don't I need to eat 4 or 5 meals a day? I don't, like, that doesn't feel right for my body. But when I'm on one meal a day, when I eat lunch or an early dinner, I usually have a lot more energy. I feel really good in the mornings. I'm up. I'm ready. I can think really clear. And granted, I'm not eating vegetables all day and it's not fruit all day. And it's shitty food. I get that. But I think I'm excited for what this all is for me. And I think going back to my routine conversations of all of that, I think that plays into effect too. And I think I'm going to feel a lot better when I can make some food, take it to work, come home for lunch. And I think the guidance of what the nutritionist will be for me is going to help a lot, because I just don't know what I should be eating. I feel like I'm a 12-year-old still of eating chicken nuggets, pizza, and cheeseburgers. I think some guidance there is going to really help me. I still want to find a primary care doctor down here, and I think it's a good idea to keep kind of fishing around and seeing who I mesh with in a genuine way. I'm not as gung-ho about it. Like, it's not first on my list. And then going to see the cardiologist next week too, I think in my mind it's still a doctor. So I have hesitations of walking in there and what that'll be. But I feel better about doing my part in what that is. Because you're right, it's mechanical and I need to see an actual doctor for what that is. I think this is how I want to be treated as far as medicine, you know, of having like my more holistic people that look at my overall and my body and how my tummy works and what feels good and what doesn't, and having those conversations and getting to know me. I know it's not going to be, I walk in 2 hours later, I walk out and here's my cure. I'm more excited of what that looks like in 6 months.
Right.
And then as far as a psychiatrist, I think I want to start looking for the right one, because I think it's very similar, in to me at least, of what you are to me. And I mean, that's the best thing that's ever happened, right? But again, like, I'm not too, oh my God, I need to do it right now on that. I think my next step is going to see a specialist, and then going to see the holistic people, and then kind of seeing what they all say.
First and foremost, look at my face. Holy crap. What you just did is incredible, because you organized your thoughts and came up with a plan.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm listening to this and I'm like, wow. All right. He's kind of well thought out. This is not spewing. I'm not just going to take Zoloft from somebody. Hang on. Okay. I'm going to see the cardiologist, get that done. I'll separate that from seeing a general practitioner, like a real doctor. Okay, I'll do that. However, I'd rather have somebody a little more holistic. Aside from all those things, I would also at some point like to see a psychiatrist. I want to get all this stuff checked out. And the way that you're talking about it sounds very adult and empowered. You know me, I will challenge you when we need to challenge you. This is a props moment.
Thank you. It feels good to kind of do it all and see it in front of me, the way you're saying that, of like, it is a plan and it's not, I need to fix it right now.
Right.
But there's the right path in front of me to take.
You're thinking about doctors differently, because previously it was really your mom just sending you to a doctor and taking care of you, right? Most doctors that you find from your insurance company are Western trained doctors, and they're pretty much trained to identify the problem and find the solution. Oh,
right.
You have anxiety. This pill helps with anxiety. If A, then B. So here's B. Okay. Right. There's a lot of steps between A and B. Let me see this holistic person or this naturopath. Let me see what I can do. We balance all of that. It's not necessarily one versus the other. It's you taking a bigger picture of, okay, I want to look at this, this, and this. It's not if A, then B. It's let me talk to A, B, C, D, and E, right?
Sounds like exactly what I'm doing. It's almost like I wanted to say it along the lines of like I'm WebMDing myself with an actual doctor. And like, again, like it's science. So I'm not going to be like, oh, well, this, that, the other. If like mechanically speaking, if something were this, I can't say no. You know, I'm not saying that like, oh, no, I'm going to try this and that, the other, and get a couple other opinions. But I do think that, like, with the Zoloft specifically, that's an area in my life that I'm obviously hesitant about. And I want to do a couple other things before that and do some research and apply it in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. This is new for you. This is you learning to take care of yourself. And in a sense, you're learning how to care for a human being in a different way. You're thinking about not just yourself, but your son. You kind of walking this path. The WebMDing yourself, like, yeah, what you're actually doing is just gathering information.
Yeah. It's interesting for me to kind of go down this path. And I love the way timelines work and the way I see myself within all of it. Because I think if this would have happened a year ago, I probably wouldn't have done it. As you were saying that too, the thought popped in my head of, damn, I didn't talk to my parents about this. They have no idea what's going on. And that was kind of cool.
There's been a shift in you. From I am taken care of by my mother to I am taking care of myself. I have the support of people around me, and I might be taking care of others now too. You are taking care of yourself in a way that is more consistent, yet a lot of this stuff you don't know. You haven't been doing this very long. So doing it for yourself is good prep for doing it for your kid, but it's really doing it for you is huge. And you're doing it your way. And what you are now doing is, in a sense, parenting yourself.
Yeah, totally. I think the thing that's still there. So obviously I've been talking about getting the keys on Sunday for a lot. I'm very excited for it. Can't wait. It's our house. This is our home. We're going to raise babies in it. Awesome. I can't not wait. So my parents, they want to come down for my birthday. Right. And so I was like, yeah, like we're going to be moving. I'm going to be doing a lot. Like I got to work still, this, that, the other. Like, yeah, happy to see you guys. If you guys want to make a trip down here, I'd love to see you.
Sure.
And so I told my mom to come basically Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I got to go to work. And she was like, all right, great. I'm going to talk to your dad. And in that same conversation the next day, my mom's like, oh, yeah, and I'm actually staying till Sunday. And I was like, okay, that's cool.
Is it?
I'm not going to be able to see you Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'm going to feel the pressure of having to come see you Friday, Saturday, and Sunday now, or else I'm not doing my part of being your son while you're in my city. And so all of this excitement to, one, tell my parents what the baby is. We still haven't told them it's a boy. And celebrating my birthday. So it's a couple of part trip of doing that, spending some time with each other because I haven't seen them in a really long time, celebrating my birthday, and helping us get the house situated best we can in the couple of days we have. I am excited to see them, and I can't wait to go to dinner, and I can't wait to show them the life I have down here and all of that. And I'm disappointed that she didn't listen to me at all and what I wanted, and now it's turning into, like, my mom spending a week down here by herself, and I know she doesn't do well by herself. Right. And I know that.
Right.
Everybody knows that. Why the fuck is she doing that? And so now I feel the responsibility of caretaking again when I shouldn't. And I shouldn't have to feel in the week I've been looking forward to for a really long time to now all of a sudden switch gears and be like, oh, well, I kind of got to put all this on hold because my mom's here. And I don't want to be two different people. I don't want to put my life on hold to jump into her life to caretake. And I also don't want her to feel guilty or maybe not guilty, abandoned or lonely or any of those feelings. Cause I know what that feels like. And I don't want her to feel those feelings. It's very stressful for the next week and going into what that is. They're listening to what they want to do. And I'm for that. You know, I think if I listen to what I wanted to do all the time, maybe I might listen to myself all the time. I don't know. Maybe that's a blessing in disguise for them and something I don't quite understand. But no. And I'm disappointed that they didn't listen to anything I said and they're making it a trip about them. And I feel like that's very apparent every time I have a birthday of it's a lot of what other people want to do.
Yeah. I hear a couple of things that almost contradict. I love that you're kind of looking at, here's what I want to do. Like, I have a clear idea of what I want to do. And for a long time, I just did what everybody else wanted to do. And that was fine. I don't know that you're just in a place of, hey, here's what I want to do. Because there's something else in you that doesn't want your mom to feel bad. That doesn't want anybody to feel abandoned or left out the way I was. Right? Okay, you're nodding. Take over for me here.
I don't ever want to be the cause of somebody to feel lonely, sad, not a part of the group when the whole focus is on me. Because I feel the burden of what that is. If it's my birthday and my mom's sad because I'm not with her, I feel like that's my fault.
Is it?
Yes and no. Okay. No, because it's my choice. It's my birthday. I should be able to do what I want to do.
Right.
And yes, because I'm the one choosing not to go do what she wants to do. So like, yes and no.
I'm the one choosing not to do what she wants to do for my birthday.
Yeah, that sounds pretty dumb.
Yeah. I mean, when we say it that way, yeah. And yet that's what a lot of us wind up doing because we take care of others. And we try to control their feelings, their reactions, their responses, because we feel responsible. And I don't know that you're responsible for somebody's response to you. You can acknowledge maybe being a trigger for that. We don't like that. We guard against that because if we move towards it, I did something wrong. Now my mom doesn't feel good. And with your mom, especially when she doesn't feel good, the consequences could be dire.
Right.
Right? Yet, I don't know if that's your fault.
Yeah. And I think back to my last birthday, and even last birthday and the birthday before that, I chose to not tell anybody it was my birthday, and I chose not to make not even a small deal, big deal, medium deal. There was no deal about it. And I remember sitting on my couch just watching Family Guy and being like, damn, like, some birthday this is. And like, it was cool. Like, it was cool, but it wasn't anywhere. It had no sustenance to it. It had no meaning to it. And so I go back and forth. My birthday is a cursed day every year. It just, like, my dog passed away 1 year. My mom went to the hospital 1 year. Like, all of the worst times basically in my life are right around my birthday. And I kind of take that internally. And I think that's why I'm saying I'd rather just sit and eat In-N-Out and be, because then nothing right. can really go that bad. If we go out and mom starts drinking and dad starts drinking and this, that, and the other, then the emotions get up, and then there's potential for something to go wrong. I like doing nothing by myself for my birthday, because then there's no potential to go wrong.
Mm.
And it feels shitty, but it's my own shitty. And so I can control what that is for me. Whereas if, like I said, we go out, this, that, and the other happens, then I have no control and I can't handle the situation. And then I feel like it's my fault.
There's a narrative that you're kind of rewriting actively. I've seen you rewrite it. And go back to last year, right around your birthday, if not on your birthday, I think right around your birthday, you had lunch with ex-girlfriend, mm-hmm. right? And I think that was the time when you and girlfriend were kind of like not really together, but together. And how do I want her in my life? It was on your own, you know, that birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you were really feeling your own personal growth and strength. And it was a little different, right?
Yeah.
The growth and the shift that I'm talking about is you are almost reclaiming your birthday as a day that is yours.
Yeah.
Right? And not, here's what I need to do for other people to feel good on my birthday. I've heard them be about you and empowerment and what you want and how that goes. And hearing you talk now, you're like, yeah, they want to come next week. Cool. I'm not going to see them on these days. I could see them on these days. And I might want to just do this. Here's how I want to spend my birthday. And I hear that more as your boundary, not as like the rule of like trying to control what they do or how they do it. It's just going, yeah, y'all can have a great steak dinner for my birthday. I'm going to be at home eating In-N-Out watching Family Guy. You know, if you want to come to my birthday, that would be awesome. If you're going to celebrate my birthday somewhere else, that's also awesome. Have fun. What do you think of that?
I like that. I liked it all the way up until I'm going to be here. If you guys want to celebrate, you guys go. That still makes me feel like, oh, well, you don't want to sit here and celebrate with me. You know what I mean? But I like the empowerment of this is my day. And like I do, like I want it to be my birthday. I do this every year, but I always keep track of the people that say happy birthday to me and where they are in my life at that point. It's always shocking to see the people that I haven't talked to in 6-8 months and they still remember my birthday. And it's not because it popped up on Facebook, but because they genuinely care about me from a distance. It's not shipping me a gift or making it a whole week of this is what we're doing for you. It's just that one day. And I think this year I'm going to really try and empower myself to go through that day of it being my day and not to fuck everybody off. I'm not trying to say, oh, well, it's my day. We can't do what you want to do. But that it is my day.
Yeah. And fuck you because I want to do what I want to do. I mean, you can say that. You can say that.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe in a nicer way of what do we want to do as a collective, right?
Hey, here's what I would love to do for my birthday. Here's what I would love to do, and it would mean a lot if you would join me for some or all of that, period.
Yeah.
And then it's up to them. It becomes addition, not subtraction. Nothing's taken away because you're still going, here's what I want. Here's what I'm inviting people in for.
Yeah.
I really do see it as an evolution, continuing evolution of you honoring yourself and your personal growth on your birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And we're back.
We're back.
Indeed.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Drew's favorite line.
Right.
His signature.
Hell
evolution.
Yeah.
Growth. Hell yeah.
Right?
Hey, no, but we appreciate it. We like it because this is growth. Drew's adulting still. He's still doing it.
Still?
Still.
Still.
He's been doing it. He's still doing it.
I dig it.
He's evolving. He's going to the doctor despite feeling really hesitant and non-trusting. Yeah.
Well, and for him... Yes. I would say for good reason.
Yeah, it's weighted. There's a lot of stuff.
Right.
There's a lot of
stuff. It might not be accurate and true for right now, but for what his experience is, yeah, not the best experiences.
Right. And I can understand it. I can empathize. I do feel my bias coming out a little bit when he gets into his like distrust of doctors and all of that. But I think, you know, when he starts going down the naturopath, that type of stuff, I feel my hackles going up and I get a little weird because I've been absolutely.
Oh, you're very sciencey.
I'm very sciencey and I've been very misguided by naturopaths in the past.
Sure.
So I have my biases. So this is why I was going to ask you. Which I know that you dabble in both Eastern Western medicines, right? And like technically I do things that are maybe alternative.
I stay away from Northern and Southern though.
Yeah, fuck the Northern and Southern medicines. Not good ass. Okay, but really when we talk about medication, alternative therapies, right? Like how do we as therapists, I mean, I think I understand how to not put my bias in there too much, but also to stay in our scope. Because at one point you actually say like, I wouldn't take those meds.
Stronger. I said, I literally
do
said,
not pick up that prescription.
Right.
Tell me about that, Doug, because I don't know if I could just explicitly outright say it like that. Because you obviously, like your feelings were in there. No? Do you think there was some implicit bias going on in there?
No, I don't.
Really? Okay. Well, can you tell me your thought process for that then?
Yeah.
Tell us all.
Absolutely. I will tell you.
Yeah.
As soon as you answer me one question.
Oh, dear. Okay. All right. Hit me.
Why do you think I said to him, don't pick up those meds. Don't start taking those meds right now.
Okay. Okay. Because he was feeling not good about it. He was feeling unsure about it.
If he's feeling unsure, then I would support him with the feeling.
Well, actually, because of the facts, right? Like he went and you didn't like the way that the doctor prescribed the drugs and didn't give him any more information. And it was very cold. And that's what I'm getting from it is that you both did not like the way that this doctor went about prescribing medication.
I would go more than that. I didn't like what Drew was describing in terms of accessibility of the doctor to him.
There's an earthquake. Do you feel that?
No.
You didn't feel that?
No.
Ooh, oh my
but
God.
I see the mic moving.
I felt that coming on from a little whiles away too.
Really?
I was like, is that an earthquake? And then I was like, that is definitely an earthquake.
Real time.
Whoa. Crazy. Okay. Weird.
It's Southern California.
California, baby.
All right. So getting back to the more important matters.
Of course. Then life or death.
No. Let me go check on Beckett.
He's fine.
Yeah.
He hasn't even made a peep. He probably didn't even notice it.
Well, I don't know. He's outside.
I love Southern California.
All right. So.
Okay.
Why I had a very strong.
Yeah. Because I know you were supporting Drew, but also. I sensed, or maybe this is my projecting of your feelings in the mix here.
My feelings were not in the mix.
Okay.
My own personal feelings were not in this mix.
Okay.
What I was picking up from Drew, what I got from him, was this is a doctor that gave him a prescription for something and barely saw him, barely talked to him, and was not very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a professional, would not feel comfortable with a client taking a new medication.
Mm-hmm.
From a doctor who is not accessible to him.
Okay. Yeah.
And I even said, you want a doctor that if something's going on, if you don't like the way this is happening, if you're feeling weird about this,
right.
And you call the doctor, you want to be able to get to the doctor, not just to his office and to the service. And maybe you'll hear back in a day or two.
Mm.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. But still, like you don't, there's a feeling there, Doug, isn't there? Like you don't like the feeling coming up in you that is like, oh, my client is seeing this a doctor, not even psychiatrist, right? Who is prescribing meds in a way that is not very, not establishing rapport, not a relationship that seems accessible or, you know, supportive.
Which to me is unethical.
Okay. Yeah.
If you're going to prescribe a new medication to a client, you need to be there to help with the medication. to help with that, the onboarding of that.
Right? I mean, that's definitely true. I guess I'm just so jaded maybe, or I'm just used to like, this is the process a lot of the time, right? And I think a lot of people actually are just desperate for medication that they're like, fuck it, I'll just go to my doctor and get XYZ, whatever I need. And I don't care if it's an ongoing relationship.
And for some clients, that would be fine. And for some clients, I can say, hey, look, it's an antidepressant. Mm-hmm. It works like this. And this is what might happen. And this is how it's going to be. Yeah. And if you're feeling something weird, give me a call and we can talk through it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a med person, but I can kind of talk through some of the anxiety about it.
Yeah.
And then we can get a message to your doctor. This is a doctor I haven't consulted with.
Right.
No, I have no access to this doctor. So if my client takes a new medication and has a response and I can't get a hold of the doctor, what can I do when they're freaking out? I can only call 911.
No, that's scary.
Right.
Yeah, if I put myself in your shoes, I'm definitely like, medication might be a good thing, but certainly not like this.
Right, exactly. Not like this. Okay. And then I'm also putting myself in Drew's shoes. He doesn't feel comfortable. Right. He already has a mistrust of doctors.
And that's the whole thing that I thought you were really just going with, was really just because Drew was so adamantly like, this doesn't feel right.
It was both. It was both. Okay. Right? Yeah. Because he is so much like that, he needs a doctor that's going to be more accessible, that's going to help him. I can't do that. I can't give him the reassurance when it comes to medication. That's beyond my scope.
Yeah. You know, when he was talking about all this stuff, I was thinking a truly holistic treatment here could be the combination of medication and nutritionist and all of it, right?
Like, that's what I was getting to with
any of that. Right.
Right.
And maybe lessening the weed smoking. Maybe. I mean,
which I threw in there also. You did.
Yes. Because that's going to be a part of the conversation, probably, if we're talking about health and habits. And
So, Kenzie, your apology is accepted.
Oh my God. Did I hurt your feelings?
No, I don't have feelings.
That's why you were refuting all of those statements that like your feelings were in the mix here, because why would they be?
That's correct.
Doug's a robot.
That's right.
Stephen Wright. That's Stephen Wright. Okay.
With a W and a V.
It's funny though, because speaking of therapists versus doctors, because you are saying that it's possible to have a doctor. Well, I don't know if this is what you're actually saying, but it sounded like it's possible to have a doctor, you and me, Drew, like someone like me, right? Who's a doctor, like we have a relationship and a rapport built. But I'm like, can we even compare therapists and doctors? I mean, it is such a different...
Sort of. But what I was getting at with him is you have some choice in who you see and what you take, right?
Some.
Not a whole lot, but some.
Yeah,
it's so to see a doctor that just goes, oh, you have this, here, take this.
Yeah.
Whoa. And if he's going, well, that doesn't sound right. Mm-hmm. And why I said to him, sure. And if you saw a cardiologist and he said, or she said, eat some broccoli and your heart's going to get better.
Sorry, I put a note on that when you when you were talking about like, I think you're actually referring to a psychiatrist because you were like, explaining to him or her.
Right.
And I was like, yes, Doug. Right. Yes, Doug. Could be her.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, it made me laugh.
That's that old riddle of...
is it the kitchen joke?
No.
Oh.
It's not the kitchen joke. It's why the doctor can't perform the surgery. Somebody comes in and needs emergency surgery and the doctor says, I can't perform that surgery. That's my son. Mm-hmm. But it's not the kid's, kid's father's already dead.
It's because the mom and no one thinks about that.
Right.
Yeah. No one thinks. I have heard of that. Okay. Yep. Great. We like sexism. Okay. Sexism. Funny. But anyway, you know, I can empathize here because my first experience getting Prozac prescribed to me was in high school. And it was very much a clinic that was just like, here you go. Have fun. You know, with absolutely no talk. No talking, just medication. Right. So I can understand, and that's kind of why I swung all the way to the other side of the pendulum and went full-blown natural stuff, right? Which ultimately led me down a bad place. But anyway.
For you,
For that's, me, yes.
And I was trying to highlight some of that with him and the holistic approach, the whole holistic
approach.
Like
an actual holistic approach that can look at everything.
Right. And go on, when you were in the ER and you had the Ativan, because your anxiety spiked and this is what they did and it brought it down. Okay. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
It does its job.
Western medicine is great at treating symptoms. They're not the best at getting to what the root cause is and how do we do that? And how do we affect long lasting change naturally? that's not what it's geared for, but in the same respect, like I said, if you're having a heart attack, you don't want the doctor to go, here, chew this broccoli real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sometimes you do need the actual Band-Aid fix or the quick fix, right?
Absolutely.
Like something that's going to make it so that you can function.
Yeah, right? God bless a defibrillator.
Yeah, God bless them. So we didn't, okay, we didn't bring up heart attack again. Great, great.
Right.
Great.
All of this for him is just trying to show that he does have some agency and some...
Well, because, yeah, and you kind of sum it up in a way like, look at you. You took a second, I think, where you were like, wow, hearing you go through all of this is really cool. You are adulting.
Right.
Whoa.
Right. Literally, like, he was going through all that. And I stopped and went like, look at my face. Because I was probably smiling. And what we were talking about wasn't content to smile about. But
But the process was. Right. Yeah.
And I just kind of going like... You organized your thought. That was something very early on for him was I just kind of spew. I don't really have my thoughts organized. I don't know all these things. And what he did in the whole first half of the session was say something with very organized thoughts.
Yeah.
He was very opinionated. Fine.
Sure. We
and have feelings. He had very organized thoughts.
Yeah.
And it came out cohesively. And I was like, yeah, there it is. And his response, of course, was...
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Because he still drew throughout all this.
You know,
like he's evolving, but he still drew.
For sure.
And he's realizing now, segueing into, okay, my birthday is coming up. I can be an adult with boundaries and agency with my birthday too.
Yep.
And I didn't realize this, but Drew, I guess, has a past, like a history of just like shitty birthdays, right?
Yeah.
Like where they haven't really been great. They haven't been focused on him. Maybe he's been taking care of other people or they've just been boring, right?
Yeah.
And I say that because...
Because he did say a few... Go ahead.
I mean, like we're going to sit on the couch and do nothing, right?
Exactly.
Because, okay, I say this because when he was saying that he wanted to do nothing, right? Because then nothing can go bad. Right?
I can't be disappointed.
I can't be disappointed if I just sit and eat In and Out and watch Family Guy or whatever. And I don't think that you hit on this. And I guess I wonder why not, because I'm thinking like, whoa, I understand that and I can empathize with it. But also, isn't that a huge, I put in my notes, distortion galore, because it's like, whoa. But I'm hearing, Drew, like that you do want to have a special birthday, but you're scared because your past birthdays have been so shitty that you've kind of learned to just do nothing. That way nothing bad can happen. But I feel like you do want to have a special birthday and you're just a little hesitant because of past experience.
You're right. You're not wrong.
Okay.
And
well, thank God.
A lot of, I think, what I was getting in the session, certainly when I heard it back, I think in the moment too, was the disappointment from mom and from parents and being let down from them. So just wanting to do something apart from them, right?
Yeah. And I think your focus has been like individuation and independence, right? So like being okay with doing something that's not in service to your parents, right? And your mom is specifically like not just bowing down to her every whim and caretaking and all of that. So I think you went on the positive spin, kind of like, whoa, we're asserting boundaries and like you can have autonomy and agency and do what you want to do. So I see both sides of it, I guess.
Yeah. And it was interesting because I think I caught that in the moment in the session because I heard a moment where I was saying, you don't want your mom to feel bad or you don't want anybody else to feel abandoned or left out.
Right. Yeah.
The way that I was.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started nodding and I went, okay, you're nodding. Take over for me.
Yeah.
And I probably, giving myself the benefit of the doubt.
Well, of course.
It was like, I was probably going to hit that part about feeling abandoned or feeling left out. The last thing I said was the way that I was, right?
Yeah.
And take over. And he goes, right. I don't want anybody to ever feel sad or lonely because of me, right?
As if we also have control over other people's feelings too, because that was another thing I made note of, you know, we influence people, but we also can't take full responsibility for their feelings and for their response to what we choose to do.
Right.
I think what I was getting at was like, well, what does Drew want in this situation?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's where I went with this.
Yeah.
Not going deeper into the, wow, so wait, you do feel sad and lonely and you do want to celebrate and feel special. Right. Instead of going there, which I could have done.
Could have. I mean, that's therapy.
Absolutely.
Choose your own adventure. Yeah.
It's that place where we were going for, right, it's your choice. It's your birthday. I should be able to do what I want. Right. I'm the one choosing, not my mom. And I said that back to him. And when I said that back to him, he goes, yeah, that sounds pretty dumb.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's what's great about reflecting things back to clients, because when they hear it said from an objective or like somebody else, they're like, oh, yeah, what the hell?
like you're the one choosing not to do what she wants on your birthday?
Right. Oh, right.
Yeah, that sounds dumb.
Yeah, it is my birthday.
Right.
I can be selfish. It's like Sarah, right? Like we all can be selfish a little bit sometimes.
And that's where he goes to that place of, I remember celebrating my birthday when I didn't want to do anything for them, protecting like his space. And I just sat on the couch eating in and out, watching Family Guy.
Right.
Like, cool.
Right. See, but to me, I still see that as like, he's protecting his space. And I don't know why. I'm just like, is that what you wanted to do on your birthday, Drew? Or was that just kind of a protective mechanism, a fear response, you know?
It absolutely
was. Maybe it was both.
Well, I mean, that's
right? Because he wanted it because it was protective. Yeah.
And again, what I was highlighting here was the putting up the stop hand to stop mom, to stop that and not do that and to just be on my own if that's what I want.
Yeah.
Step two would be, okay, if that's what you want, what do you really want? And that might be where he goes, yeah, I love having in and out. I would love to just get some people together and like play 2K, chill on the couch, smoke a bowl,
eat some in.
Right. That's what I want. Like, okay, now we're going to what you want. That's your birthday.
And okay, how do we fit mom into this? Because mom is visiting.
They
right?
don't fit.
Okay. You know,
and that's
okay
where
with
he was.
That?
That's where he was going with going like, hey, I said, come down, whatever it was,
that's
Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
But then by Wednesday or Thursday, I can't see you. And they're like, we'll be here till Sunday. Like,
Then
I can't see you.
Yeah. Like my plans are different. I get it. I think it's a very logical, pragmatic thing. And at the same time, I do feel Drew's maybe, or this is just mine, like guilt of like, oh, but my mom is coming now and I have to include her and I'm getting pulled into that.
You don't. You don't have to.
I know, but I feel it. I empathize so hard with that.
That's the feeling. Like, exactly. Ooh. Exactly. That's the feeling. And we even said this. You're not saying like, yo, mom, sorry, fuck off. I'm having my own birthday. You can't have anything to do with it.
Right. Which he didn't respond well to at first. Remember, I think you had said something that was a little harsher and you were like, ooh, I don't know about that. Like, he was like, I can't just obviously can't tell her to just fuck off. But I don't know. I always see it as like, how can we do both? But maybe that's just me trying to like be a perfectionist here. Like, how can I include my mom and do what I want to do on my birthday and have the independence, but also, it's tricky.
And that's another fun thing about being a therapist is me saying that to him and like kind of going like, yeah, fuck you. I'll do what I want. And he goes, well, maybe I'll find a nicer way of saying that.
Yeah.
Like, awesome. Like, great.
Cool. Yeah.
Because now he's hearing the reflection of me and he's softening it and making it fit for him.
His voice.
Right. Mm-hmm. And going like, okay, yeah, here's what I would love to do. And now if they want to join, cool. That's up to them.
Yeah.
I don't have to think of, did I make it good enough for them? Or did no, it's like either they're joining or they're not. That's
it. Because it's your birthday.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Right. Cool.
Yeah. There we go. Go Drew. Adulting and doing all this.
Was his birthday the next weekend, like the coming weekend after this session? Because I wondered too if it was almost like a timing thing. Like, let's just do your thing.
If I remember, it was coming up pretty quick. Because he was saying, like, I told him they could come, like, Tuesday, Wednesday. Like, it was coming up pretty quick.
I don't know if it wouldn't even been worth it to, like, pick at it a little bit more. But I don't know why I got hooked on that little distorted thought of maybe I feel for Drew and I just got stuck in, like, him being on the couch and sad and lonely and actually wanting, like, family with him.
And we don't know if he was sad or lonely because what he might have been feeling is, I feel free that I'm not doing what they wanted to do. Right?
Right. Yeah.
I think there's two steps to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that.
Yeah.
Yet I can turn to the second step of what is it I really want to do?
Mm.
Right? So you're stuck on the, oh, he's on the couch and feeling sad and lonely. No, he's not. He's on the couch feeling free that I'm not doing what they want. Yet I'm still not feeling the celebration of what I do want, what I want.
Yeah.
That's not there yet. That's coming.
Hopefully.
That's hopefully. Yeah. And that's kind of what we were moving towards.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can't move from step one to step three without hitting that step two.
Mm, so just acknowledging all the steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe you are going to feel a little guilty and a little this, that, sad, whatever, lonely. And ultimately, net result, you know, I got to celebrate my birthday the way I wanted to. Maybe. I mean, we'll find out next time.
I got to celebrate my birthday not the way they wanted to. That's the first step.
Most importantly.
Right.
Right.
Now, from that place of mm-hmm. not being tied to that, now we can go, okay, now mm-hmm. what is the way you want to celebrate your birthday?
Mm.
Right?
Do we find out how his birthday went?
I don't remember.
Well, I want to.
Well,
so
stick around. And if we didn't do it this time,
we'll do it next time.
Next year.
Next year. Next
year. Have another birthday.
Oh, right. Yeah. Birthdays. Yes, of course. Cool.
But it might come up next week. And if it does, you'll be here for it because you will come back around.
You will, won't you? Are you talking to me or the listeners?
I'm talking to everybody but Beckett.
All of us. Oh, Beckett. He's listening.
Yeah. He's recovering from the earthquake.
It was a doozy. It was probably a 2.1.
That's nothing.
Nothing.
All right, doozy. We will see you next week.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye.